All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, Ian here. I wanted to tell you about a place that I love, and it's a place where a lot of the work that goes into 13 happens. I do a lot of the work for the show at Lexington Writer's Room. If you're a parent, you know it can be tough to carve out some space to work on something creative at home that requires a certain amount of solitude, like writing. Even if your kids are in the other room, you still feel like you should be spending time with them. The Writer's Room is a place where I and a lot of other great writers can go to work on whatever it is we're working on. It's a dedicated 24-hour space, and it's one of the main reasons that 13 has survived into my parenthood. The Writer's Room is at a turning point and needs to do some serious fundraising to maintain the next 3 years of our lease. So I'm coming to you to ask you to consider donating, or if you're local, consider joining. You'll be helping the show, as well as a ton of other talented people who are chasing their dreams, but who just need a little space to do the work. You can look for a link to the donate page in the show notes of our most recent episode, or you can go there now at lexingtonwritersroom.com. You can go there now at lexwritersroom.com/support-us. That's Lex, spelled L-E-X, writersroom.com/support-us.
Hey there. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. Before we get started, as always, we want to thank our new patrons. Crookham, Vanessa Parker, Thomas Torp, Mama Trainer, Rose, Heather Sherwood, Dave, and John Joy. Thank you so much for your support, and welcome to the Pod Fam. If you'd like to hear your name before an episode, then you should check us out on Patreon. Just click the link in the show notes to learn more about perks like ad-free episodes, exclusive merch, and over 4 years of bonus stories. This is part one of a two-part series. Part two is already up on our Patreon. Otherwise, you'll find it here next week. And without further ado, today's story is Maine, part one. Written by Madeline Daniel. Featuring Kayla Temshiv and Mason Amadeus. Are you ready? Sit back, turn down the lights. And now, on with the show. Caro killed herself 96 days after she last spoke to Hannah. Hannah knew this because she had counted. It wasn't unusual. Throughout their friendship, she'd kept an obsessive, methodical clock, tallying the minutes, the hours, and during the worst times, the days between words. An hour was irritating. A day was torture. 2 days was unacceptable. 96 days was, apparently, grounds for suicide. She found out from Val, who'd been her lifeline through all of this. Not a real friend, but a reliable stand-in. An echo of the real thing. More importantly, Val was a mutual friend. Close enough to Caro to provide information about her life. She at least had access to her social media. Val's boyfriend was friends with Caro's fiancé, who found out a day after it happened, on day 97. Hannah found out 3 days after it happened, on day 99.
I wanted to make sure you knew,
Val said hesitantly over the phone. She didn't, obviously. There was no way she could have known, with all of her avenues cut off. There was no way she could have saved her. Val went on.
Nick woke up and her car was gone. She must have left in the middle of the night.
Hannah sat down hard on her vanity chair.
Where did she go?
Caro had helped her pick out the chair. She had helped her pick out the house. Val said,
Maine. She drove all the way to Maine. She walked into the ocean.
How did they find out what happened? Val was hyperventilating.
She didn't answer her phone while she was driving. Nick was freaking out, but she texted him when she got to the beach. And some guy saw her in the water. He was yelling at her, but she was so far out, and it was really cold, and there was no lifeguard or anything, because it's the off-season. So he called the cops because he didn't know what else to do.
Val was almost crying, and that made Hannah want to yell. Because Val didn't love Caro, she didn't even know her. And Hannah wasn't crying yet. And if Hannah wasn't crying about Caro, no one should be. What did she text him? Hannah asked. Val sniffed.
What?
Nick, you said she texted him from the beach. What did she text him? Val said she didn't know. A picture of the ocean, she thought. But no words, Hannah said. Val asked again.
What?
Was Val stupid?
Was it just the picture? Or did she say anything to him in the text?
Val took a breath. I don't know if that's important. It was important. Hannah pulled the phone away from her ear and opened her text messages. It was there at the top. A photograph of the ocean. Vast and dark and angry. And beneath it, it's cold, but it's beautiful. Like we always said, I love you, and I'm sorry. There was no way she could have said that to Nick. She couldn't have said anything to him. She shouldn't have said anything to him. This had nothing to do with him. Maine was theirs.
God, your hair!
Hannah groans.
It's so tangled. I should just cut it off.
Don't you dare! It's gorgeous. I live vicariously through your hair.
Hannah giggles and tries not to splash wine on herself as Caro yanks the brush a final time.
Ah. Oh, sorry. Did I hurt you?
No, you're fine. Okay, now braid it.
Okay, I'm getting there.
Caro leans off her perch on the sofa armrest to place the brush on the coffee table next to a half-empty bottle of wine. It's a nice one. A 2015 Syrah. And Hannah knows Gabe will be mad at her for opening it. He'll grumble. You two don't even appreciate it. You just chug it like it's water. But Hannah doesn't care. It's a special occasion.
I'm so glad you could come over. It's been so long.
Caro runs her fingers through Hannah's hair.
It hasn't been that long.
Yes, it has. I never see you anymore.
You saw me last week.
Yeah, but that was with Val, Kyle, and Nick. It's not the same. I never get you to myself anymore.
Oh, jeez.
Hannah can practically feel Caro roll her eyes behind her. But she knows she's smiling, too. Hannah snuggles closer against Caro's legs and leans her head into Caro's hands as she starts to section her hair into thick segments. She feels calmer than she has in weeks, but there's something underneath the calm as well. A shimmering undercurrent of electricity, of possibility.
Fuck, I'm messing this up. This is going to be the ugliest braid ever.
I don't care. I just like it when it's yours.
Cute. Okay, hand me the scrunchie.
Caro ties off the braid, sliding off the sofa's arm.
Move over.
Hannah stands and reaches for the bottle, and then tips more into Carol's glass.
I haven't even finished my drink yet.
I know, but I'm on my third already, and you need to catch up, girl.
Carol sighs, grabs her wine, and takes a giant swig.
Happy now?
Happier. I'm just happy I'm with you.
Me too.
Hannah leans her head onto Caro's shoulder.
Don't ever leave me, okay?
What are you talking about?
No, I just... You have your man now, and I...
Oh my God.
No, and I'm so happy for you. I love Nick. You know I love him. I miss hanging out at your old apartment sometimes. That's all.
Well, your place is nicer anyways.
Caro swerves Hannah's provocation like always, but Hannah knows her. Satisfied, she smiles to herself while Caro's face is blocked by her wine glass.
Just don't ever leave me, okay? Because I'd be really sad.
Hannah was lying in bed, the comforter pulled to her chin. She heard Gabe enter the bedroom, felt him crawl over the bed to sit beside her. But she didn't bother rolling over.
Hannah, honey.
He tucked his hand under the comforter to place his palm on her shoulder, gentle but insistent.
You need to get up.
Hannah knew that Gabe didn't believe she was sleeping. She'd hardly slept at all in the 2 days since Val's phone call. But she hadn't left bed either. She just stared at the wall, the blackout curtains blocking the sunlight, so there was no difference between midnight and noon.
Hannah.
I called in sick to work.
I know, but you still need to get up.
Why?
It was an emotionless statement, not a question.
Because it's not good to just lie in bed.
Hannah didn't respond, and they remained in silence for a moment before Gabe pushed her toward the end of the bed.
Get up. You'll feel better.
Hannah tried to roll back, but Gabe pushed her, harder. She moaned in protest. Gabe stood up, and Hannah thought he was leaving. But he walked around the other side of the bed, reached under the covers, and wrapped his arms around Hannah's body, tugging her upwards.
Come on. Come on. You're getting up.
But Hannah snarled and sank her teeth into the base of Gabe's neck.
Ah!
He yelled and dropped her back onto the bed.
What the fuck, Hannah?
He shut the door. Under the comforter, Hannah's eyes stayed open. She finally got up around 3 that afternoon. Parched with thirst and feeling guilty for attacking Gabe, she swung her legs off the mattress to stand, disoriented by the curtains and the hours spent in bed. When her feet touched the floor, she frowned. The carpet was wet. Hannah switched on the bedside lamp and saw a trail of darkened spots on the carpet. She sank her bare foot into the spot near the bed again. It was soaked completely through and cold. Dodging the wet spots, Hannah left the bedroom and went downstairs.
Gabe?
She called. She heard a faint response from the finished basement and went down the steps to find him in his office.
You're up.
Hannah saw the faint red mark on his neck and winced in remorse, but she didn't mention it.
You came into the bedroom with wet shoes.
Gabe frowned.
What?
Hannah sighed.
The bedroom carpet is wet. Why didn't you take your shoes off?
What are you talking about?
I haven't left the house since this morning.
Well, the carpet is wet. Gabe looked at her, expectantly.
Okay, so clean it up.
Hannah could see this wasn't going anywhere. She huffed in frustration and climbed back up the stairs, stopping by the kitchen for cleaner and paper towels. Logically, she knew it didn't make sense to be this upset over something as small as a few wet spots on her bedroom carpet. But a clean house had always been her surest cure for the anxiety that had plagued her for her whole 26 years of life. And right now, it felt easier to channel her anger and sorrow at this small, solvable problem than at the incomprehensible reality of a future without Caro. It had been hard enough coming to terms with it over the past 96 days, of accepting the possibility that her best friend, the person who owned a piece of her soul and at whom all of her energies had been directed for so long, had been cut off from her. Caro's death was just a final, cruel insult. Because as long as Hannah had still known that Caro existed, as long as she had known where she was, there had always been hope, no matter how minuscule, of a return, of reconciliation, of winning the game, of Maine. Hannah was about to go to the bedroom when she realized she would need to clean the stairs and entryway. Gabe would have come in through the front door. But the welcome mat was dry. Hannah couldn't see any wet spots in the sunlight pouring through the glass door. Bright, brilliant sunlight. Had it even rained at all that day? Frowning, Hannah ascended the staircase, stopping on each rise to thoroughly check the carpet for water. But all 10 steps were completely dry. There wasn't even any dirt on them. Gabe couldn't have worn shoes up the stairs. She was starting to think she had imagined the whole thing, brought on by a delirium of grief, until she reached the bedroom entrance and almost stepped directly into a wet patch. She switched on the overhead bedroom lights to see as clearly as possible, to make sure that she wasn't going crazy. But there was an unmistakable trail of dark, wet spots on the carpet. Long, narrow patches. Footprints. Footprints that clearly began just inside the bedroom and that clearly ended directly beside the bed. Inches from where she had been lying. Trembling, Hannah knelt and pressed the full weight of her hand into the first footprint. The carpet wasn't just wet. It was soaked. Each thread weighed down with ice-cold water. And there was something else there. Some sort of particle or grain. She raised her hand to her face and rubbed her fingertips together. It was sand. Three months after they meet for the first time, when Caro opens the bathroom door of the hotel suite to rejoin Hannah's bachelorette party, Hannah is waiting, eyes blazing with vodka and arousal. Hannah pushes Caro backwards into the bathroom and locks the door behind her. Hannah's arms around Caro's neck. Caro's fingers in Hannah's hair. Lips on lips. Hands moving down each other's skin-tight dresses. Caro pulls away.
Won't Gabe be mad? You said he doesn't want us to do anything without him.
Shut up. Hannah kisses her again. Caro nibbles on Hannah's bottom lip, eliciting a moan. Time stretches,
and simultaneously disappears in the blink of an eye.
We need to get back.
Caro's eyes sparkle with drunken mischief, then quickly shift to concern, followed by laughter.
Oh, fuck! My lipstick!
Caro tears toilet paper from the roll, wets it under the tap, and brushes it against Hannah's lips, removing the telltale red evidence.
What if we let them see?
Hannah giggles. Caro's mouth turns upward in a melancholy smile.
The world's not ready for that.
Hannah took a swig of her wine, and then she did what she'd promised herself she wouldn't do, and typed Caro's name into her Instagram search bar. Not from her main account. Caro had blocked that 102 days ago. But from the second account she'd made last night. She knew it would end badly, but she had to see it. She had to see the pictures. The tributes from all the friends who would never mean anything to her. And she certainly wasn't disappointed.
The world has lost a
mourning the loss of a beautiful, kind, and funny
Caro,
soul.
I don't know what to say. You were my best friend.
Her face grew hot. Hannah knew. She knew that nobody ever had, nobody ever would know Caro or love Caro like she did. None of these friends, not even Nick. And now she was forced to watch all these pretenders, these fucking imposters, spew their bullshit platitudes when Hannah still remembered clear as yesterday, lying in bed, legs twisted together, Caro whispering,
"Nobody will ever be like you."
Hannah took another gulp of wine, getting angrier by the second. So angry, her head started to itch. She put her phone into her lap and scratched at her skull with her empty left hand, tears pooling in her eyes for what felt like the 100th time that day. She scrolled through images of Caro's face. She felt another itch on her head and raised her hand to scratch it when she realized it wasn't an itch after all. It was the tingle of movement against her skull. The impossible, yet now unmistakable sensation of her long, thick hair being segmented and moved across her scalp, as if phantom fingers were rearranging her tresses. As if her hair were being braided. Hannah's stomach took a swift and sudden swoop. She gasped for air as both hands flew towards her hair, her empty left hand, and her right hand that held her wine. With a yelp, Hannah leapt up from her seat, and she examined the deep red puddle of Cabernet now spreading across the gray twill of her sofa. Heart pounding, lungs gasping, and hands tangled in her hair, Hannah stumbled towards the kitchen for supplies. This wasn't the first time she'd dealt with a red wine stain, but the sofa was new, and Gabe would be pissed. As she frantically mixed dish soap and hydrogen peroxide in a bowl, willing her heart to slow, she heard footsteps from the basement.
Hey, what are you doing?
Hannah was sure she looked horrifying. Tangled hair, bloodless face, trembling all over.
I spilled a little wine.
She was doing everything in her power to keep her voice steady. And she was about to tell Gabe not to worry about it.
but he was already halfway to the living room.
Fuck, Hannah.
He stomped back into the kitchen. He sounded angrier than Hannah thought he had a right to be.
What the hell happened?
I just got startled. Gabe followed her, watching as she poured the mixture onto the rapidly setting stain and covering it with paper towels.
Startled by what?
It's not a big deal, okay? She was angry and scrambled and stressed. Her heart wouldn't stop pounding, and there had been something in her hair. I'm taking care of it now. You won't even be able to see it by tomorrow. She refused to make eye contact with him, terrified she'd give something away. She couldn't let on to Gabe that anything was wrong, that she was starting to think Caro's death would push her over the edge. He was already walking away, grumbling under his breath about how she should be more careful. Hannah slammed the empty bowl on the coffee table and sat down. She propped her elbows on her knees and dropped her forehead into her hands, surrendering to the sobs coursing through her body. Hot tears ran down her cheeks. She slipped her hands into her hair, letting the sharp fingernails scratch her scalp so hard she thought she might draw blood. She ran her fingers through her long tangles, and then across something thick and wet and slimy. Hannah almost yelled again, but whimpered instead. She jumped from the sofa and sprinted to the bathroom. She slammed on the light and locked the door behind her. The hum of the bathroom fan drowned out her sharp breathing. She tilted her head to the side and, shaking, she wove her fingers through her hair until she found the offending object, her determination barely surpassing her horror. Hannah closed her eyes. Then she pinched the sopping, slippery strand between her fingernails and pulled until it was free of her tangles. She opened her eyes and saw what she had removed from her scalp. Dark green, briny, and glistening, almost a foot in length. Seaweed. The first time Maine is brought up, they're in their usual positions, perched on Hannah's sofa, each armed with a generous pour of wine and a tangible bundle of ill-advised energy.
I think we should go to Maine together,
Hannah says, as the end credits roll on their latest Golden Girls episode. Caro frowns, but her eyes are smiling.
Maine?
We've always talked about a girls' trip.
Oh, yeah, but why Maine?
I want to see where you went to school.
Han, I went to school in Massachusetts.
I know that, but they're both in New England. And we can read books on the beach and eat lobster and see Stephen King's house.
Caro considers this.
Okay, that could be cool.
Her eyes light up and she leans forward.
What if we met him at, like, the grocery store or something? I'd probably die.
Hannah grins and slides out her phone.
Okay, I'm making a Pinterest board for our main trip.
Caro slides closer to Hannah.
Let me see.
She watches Hannah type main vacation into the app's search bar.
We might have to wait a while, though. I mean, Nick and I are already going broke, saving for our vacation this fall.
Hannah shrugs.
I can be patient.
Then she gasps and looks at the television, where Bea Arthur is rolling her eyes spectacularly at Betty White. She grabs Caro's wrist.
Care, we can be like the Golden Girls, only instead of Florida, we go to Maine together when we're old.
What about Gabe and Nick? Will they just live in our garage?
No, I mean after they die.
Caro almost spits out her wine.
What makes you so sure they're going to die before us?
I don't know. Women statistically live longer than men.
Hannah can't stop smiling. Neither can Caro.
Okay, fine. If Gabe and Nick both die before us and we're not in a nursing home or something, we can move to Maine together.
Yes, and we'll get a cottage on the beach.
Yes, we will be very cold, but yes.
And we'll read books every day.
Yes.
And we'll be together forever. The next afternoon, Hannah sends Caro 5 different Airbnb links to cottages in Maine. When Caro sleeps over a few weeks later, Hannah's Pinterest board is packed with the best beaches, sightseeing, and restaurants all across the Pine Tree State. Caro calls over the sofa as Gabe cooks dinner.
Gabe, we're moving to Maine after you die.
He grins.
Yeah, I've heard.
When Caro goes to Florida with Nick that fall, she texts Hannah a picture of the Gulf of Mexico. It's not Maine, but it's pretty damn good. And when Caro returns with a diamond on her finger, Hannah hugs her and squeals with joy. A few hours later, as she listens to Caro yell at her new fiancé over the phone and hears her own name mentioned several times, Hannah adds more pins to her main board. When Hannah goes to lunch with Caro and her mom after buying Caro's wedding dress, she talks about their plans. After our husbands die, we're moving to Maine together, she says, unable to stop herself. Even though Caro's mom is looking at her strangely, even though she knows she shouldn't be talking about Nick dying after Caro just bought a gown for their fucking wedding, this is not the appropriate time, or the appropriate place, or the appropriate reality to be daydreaming of the two of them, sitting side by side with their toes in the same sand and their bodies wrapped in the same blankets, as they both watch the powerful waves of the Atlantic crash on the rocky beach and entwine each other's fingers with their own until it's impossible to tell where one woman ends and the other begins. But she meets Caro's eyes across the table, and she's smiling at her. And that's all that matters. Three months later, they're standing in Hannah's driveway. Stacked in Caro's arms are the belongings she'd still had at Hannah's house. The book they'd most recently read together. The sweatshirt she'd given Hannah when she was cold. The swimsuit she always kept at Hannah's for trips to her hot tub.
I guess this is the last time I'll ever see you, Hannah says.
Caro's face is unreadable. Not for lack of emotion, but for excess of it. Sadness, anger, regret. A pinch of pity.
We will see each other again.
Hannah smiles faintly.
Right, when our husbands die and we go to Maine.
Caro bites her bottom lip, looks down at the poured concrete, looks back up.
Right.
The next afternoon found Hannah curled up with a book in a pool of sunlight, a cup of peppermint tea cooling on the coffee table. She heard her husband coming up the stairs from his basement office. And to her surprise, Gabe sat on the sofa beside her, wrapping an arm around her shoulders. His voice was softer than it had been in days, and Hannah looked up to see his eyes gentle, even apologetic.
Are you doing okay?
She nodded.
Yeah,
I'm all right. She shut the book and leaned into Gabe's embrace. I'm sorry that
no, I'm sorry. I've been snappy with you, and you're going through a lot.
He shook his head.
She shouldn't have done it.
Hannah frowned. Done what? Killed herself?
Yeah. I mean, who exactly did that help? It just hurt you more, and now I have to...
He cut himself off, suddenly distracted by the floor.
Hey, you missed a spot.
What?
When you cleaned up your wine spill, you missed a huge spot. Look, it's right there on the carpet.
Hannah ducked out from under Gabe's arm to see where he was pointing. She felt the back of her neck go ice cold at the sight of the red wine stain monopolizing the corner of the living room rug.
Gabe, that's not where I spilled my wine last night, she said, struggling to keep her voice even.
It was the sofa, not the rug. Gabe looked at her like she was a child caught in a lie.
Well, some of it must have gotten...
No, Gabe, you don't understand. I wasn't anywhere near that spot last night. Even if I had spilled some on the rug, it would have been over there.
She gestured wildly towards where she'd been sitting.
Okay, well, it definitely wasn't there before, and I didn't spill anything, so it must have been you.
Gabe got up from the sofa, clearly feeling his contribution to the conversation had run its course.
Can you just clean it up?
He was gone before Hannah could protest. Not knowing what else to do, she once again gathered her cleaning supplies and scrubbed at the stain. Her heart was racing, and her arms were covered in goosebumps. When the stain had nearly disappeared, she took her mug of tea to the kitchen and placed it in the microwave, hoping a freshly heated drink would warm the chill lodged in her chest. As the microwave hummed, she closed her eyes and took deep, steadying breaths, trying to ground herself in the present moment. It's September 15th. I'm in my kitchen. I'm alive. Caro is dead. The microwave screamed. She laced her fingers around the mug, allowing its warmth to permeate her hands. She walked back toward the sofa, rounding the corner. Hannah almost dropped the mug when she saw the wine stain seeping back into the rug, in the exact spot she'd banished it from only moments ago. It looked, for all the world, like a dark, bloody wound spreading across grotesquely patterned skin. Hannah swayed on her feet, certain she was about to pass out, and amazed that she didn't. She felt more terrified than she ever had in her life, because Gabe was wrong. That wine stain had been there before. Caro stares down at her wine glass, which until a moment ago had been full, balanced only somewhat precariously on the corner of the coffee table. Now, it was overturned on Hannah's patterned rug, the Cabernet effortlessly joining the swirls of color.
Oh, shit.
She looks up at Hannah, forlorn and paralyzed in a drunken stupor.
Fuck, Hannah, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
Hannah is already rounding the corner, having leapt up the moment Caro knocked her glass over.
It's an old rug anyways.
She starts pouring cleaner over the stain, but Caro stops her.
Here, let me. It's my mess.
As Caro steals the cleaner and towels out of Hannah's arms and gets to work, Hannah picks up the empty glass from the floor and fills it again.
You sure that's a good idea? That might ruin your rug for good.
Care, you're fine.
I'm already pretty drunk. I should probably switch to water.
Well, but that's no fun.
With the stain now under control, Caro returns to the sofa. Sighing, she picks up her refilled glass and flashes a guilty grin.
Such a bad influence. Okay, what were we talking about before I so rudely interrupted?
Hannah isn't exactly sober herself.
I don't remember. Oh!
She grabs her phone from the coffee table.
I was showing you pictures from last weekend.
Oh, yeah!
Caro moves closer until Hannah can feel the warmth of her thigh next to hers.
So, you guys went to the Italian festival. I saw you posted on Instagram.
Yeah, and we got way too drunk. Nora and I both almost puked.
She shows Caro the photos she'd made Gabe take. Her and Nora, their arms wrapped around each other's shoulders, each clutching plastic cups filled with wine. Nora had looked especially pretty that day, with her red and white checkered blouse and blonde waves brushing her shoulders.
She's cute.
Her voice was laced with a deliberate lightness that Hannah recognized as a facade for rampant jealousy. Caro takes a large gulp of wine and then smirks a little.
Nice tits.
Hannah feels that familiar heat creep up her neck, a sure sign that she's about to say something she shouldn't.
They're not as good as yours.
She pulls her face into an innocent expression as she drinks from her own glass, keeping her eyes on Caro, eager to see how she'll react. She hasn't exactly crossed the line, but she's damn close. Caro's lips turn up mischievously.
I mean, I wasn't gonna say anything, but...
Hannah shrieks with delighted laughter, placing her hand on Caro's bare thigh. They lock eyes, and Caro's eyebrow shoots up. Your move.
Well, I mean, we still managed to have fun that night.
I was gonna ask. Gabe must love it. I know he's always wanted to be with a blonde.
Oh yeah, it was the first thing he noticed when we saw their dating profile.
Caro laughs.
So, what about her husband? What's his name again? Jason?
Hannah nods.
Yep, he's good. He likes watching me and Nora.
I don't blame him.
Hannah grins, vindicated. She hears glass on the coffee table and sees Caro has already finished her wine. Hannah reaches over to grab the bottle and is tipping more into the glass. That's when Caro asks, with a quiet that nearly stops Hannah's heart in its tracks.
Do you love her?
Hannah's hand pulls back, the trickle of wine slowing. Nora?
Yeah.
Recovering, Hannah pours more wine into Caro's glass, keeping her face turned away.
Sure, I mean, she's my friend.
She sets the bottle down, and Caro immediately retrieves her glass. She drinks deeply, then puts the glass back on the table, her eyes downturned.
But is she your friend like I'm your friend? Or like I was your friend?
Hannah's heart is beating so loud, she thinks Caro must be able to hear it. But she has to draw this out, has to keep it alive.
Care, you're still my friend.
You know what I mean.
She turns to face Hannah, and Hannah realizes very suddenly
just how drunk Caro is. And she'd be lying if she said it wasn't intentional. She knows that the more Caro drinks, the more likely she'll be able to walk that line right alongside Hannah. The more likely she'll be able to put a fingernail over it. The more likely she'll be to not remember a moment of it in the morning. The liquid courage is flowing through Hannah's veins as well, and it's responding to the shift in energy between them, from flirtatious to teasing to something deeper, something vulnerable, something like a giant bloody heart beating garishly between them. Hannah sighs, reaches for Caro's hand, strokes her palm, and says something true. Nora's who I go to when I can't have you. Hannah notices everything about Caro's reaction to this statement. The way she draws in her breath, both subtle and sharp. The way her eyes morph from shock to triumph to sadness to longing. The way her mouth twitches, unable to decide whether to smile or sob. The way her top teeth cover her bottom lip. The way her tongue pushes her lip back out. The split second where the imprint of her teeth is visible on her lip as it slides back into place. The way those lips part as Hannah raises Caro's hand within her own and kisses the back of it. Hannah decides all at once what she's going to do. She can't do anything else. She's waited too long. She reaches out her hand, touches Caro's cheek, leans in as Caro closes her eyes.
Oh, I'm gonna be sick.
Caro leaps from the sofa as if electrocuted. She runs to the bathroom and slams the door. Breathless, Hannah hears the clunk of the toilet lid being raised, the telltale wretch of someone who's had too much to drink too fast. Hannah slumps back into the sofa, a rapidly deflating shell of herself.
Hey, I had so much fun last night. I want you to know I don't feel bad about what happened or what we talked about. I think it's good to talk about it sometimes. No matter what, you'll always be my best friend. Fuck.
Hannah stares at Caro's text message, breathing hard. She hadn't expected Caro to remember the events of last night. She'd been so drunk. And she'd crashed on the sofa right after she'd gotten sick. Hannah starts typing out a response, then deletes it, then repeats the process several times.
No worries. I had so much fun and it was good.
No.
Oh, why would I feel bad? You're so...
No.
Caro, I love you. I never stopped loving you. I've never been able to say...
No.
Frustrated, Hannah puts her phone face down on the kitchen counter. She wants to go for a run, to let the exhaustion and endorphins overtake her and clear the spinning in her head. But she knows Caro will be waiting. More importantly, if Hannah takes too long to text back, Caro will wait at least that long before she responds. And Hannah can't possibly go an hour more without hearing from her. She closes her eyes, rolls her shoulders back, lets out a deep breath, and picks up the phone. Girl, it's all good. It didn't mean anything.
Just innocent, drunken fun. What are you up to today? She hits send. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. If you can't wait to hear the conclusion of this story, then head on over to our Patreon, where part 2 is already up. And if you like what you heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This was part 1 of Maine, written by Madeline Daniel, narrated by me, Brooke Jeanette. Caro was Kayla Temshiv. Gabe was Ian Epperson. And Nick was Mason Amadeus. Music composed by Caleb Ritchie. Editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Additional assistance from Bridget Freeman. Find more information about the cast and crew in the show notes. Our producer-level patrons are Tattooed Fox, Rhiannon, Sean Geary, Anthony Diaz, Michael Vasquez, Amy Harper, Jackie Kay, Chantel Payne, Nick, Jake R., Emily Toll, Cozamine, Adeline, and John Joy. Thank you so much for your support. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about joining us on Patreon. And check us out on social media. You can find us most places under Pod 13. And you can join the Facebook group for 13 Podcast. Just look for the logo, and you'll find links in the show notes. If you'd like to submit a story to be performed on the show, or if you'd like to contact us about anything else, get in touch at info@13podcast.com. You'll find submission guidelines and other info on our website, 13podcast.com. And you can find that in the show notes too. Bridget Freeman is running her fingers through your hair. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.